Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving to all across the Delaware Valley. We're going to wish you a happy Thanksgiving all day today as we are live at the Fabulous Parks Casino, Street Road, Bensalem, as they'll get ready for a big weekend of sports and a big weekend of football, and we'll have you covered all day long when it comes to that stuff. We'll dive deeply into it. But it is the day before Thanksgiving, and it's a holiday. It's going to be an intimate holiday today, tomorrow, and this weekend. So let's do it in a blessed fashion, right? So we'll talk all about it. Have some fun today, man. I'm missing my Wednesday night before Thanksgiving going out. It's kind of a little bit of a bummer, to be honest with you. No turkey bowl. It's going to rain tomorrow. So it kind of stinks, but the Eagles stink. So I had
planned. That's right, it stinks.
I had planned. So I got to be real with you guys, right? So I plan my open every morning, right? And I usually go into this, you know, about a 5-6 minute diatribe with a thesis, and then, you know, kind of lay it out, and I lay it out to Tunis. And I had one today, and it's all about, you know, Peterson and Wentz and Hurts and how to kind of navigate through this. But can I be honest with you guys? Because I always try to be real with you. I'm tired of them, man. I want the Sixers and the Flyers. I do. I love them. I'll watch every game, but this is such a drag. And here's my biggest fear, and this is what it ties into, which is the long-term health of this franchise. I mean, we touched on it a little bit yesterday. I was telling you about my buddy Vinny was talking about players under 30 that you would actually like, right? That you actually, under 29, because Fletcher Cox and Darius Slay, they're all like around that age. But imagine players that are like really youthful. What do you have? You got very little. And so I start to think about this thing, and I get bummed out because, A, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie, who is part of the problem here, because he's too involved in personnel. He is. I mean, the fact that he's drafted anybody, I'm sorry. You're the owner. That's why you got football people. You know, I mean, you can't be involved in this stuff. You got to be okay. It killed the Cowboys forever because of Jerry Jones. Killed them. You're not eating it and sleeping it. It's great that you are the owner, but you got to allow the people whom you hire to make the decisions, and then you got to figure out who the people you're hiring, who the people are working for, who are in charge, and you got real issues here. I mean, you know, again, it's great to look back and, you know, I'm grateful, and I'll say it 1,000 times how we're grateful. But when you look into the future here with this team, it looks bleak to me. You got very few guys under 30 to build around. You got a quarterback who's a mess. You got another quarterback who I think they overdrafted, to be quite frank with you. You got no coaching staff, the coaching staff that I think is weak, right? They don't marry each other. Offense and defense do not complement one another. The coach is so self-conscious. He's got such esteem issues that he won't even take a bullet for his quarterback or anybody else. You know, again, when he publicly lauds himself when they're 0 for 9 on third down, that's a problem. And I don't care how much you love Doug and he won this Super Bowl. If he comes on a State of the Union address, and that's what they are, every Monday, and he tells you that his play calling's good and he lauds himself when they're 0 for 9 in a loss, that's a problem. That's a leadership problem. How many times are we going to talk about how he never puts himself, never takes responsibility? If you don't take responsibility as the leader, as the supposed CEO, then you're weak. Then you're just afraid of. That's what you are. And so I have very little confidence in Peterson. I don't think Schwartz marries Peterson's offense. I don't like Schwartz. I never liked Schwartz's scheme. I mean, just because events conspired in 2017 doesn't need to mean I need to be married them forever. And I look to the future and I just see bleakness unless somebody comes in and takes control of the damn thing. And so that's why all I really want to talk about is the Sixers and the Flyers. Because the other two franchises, the Phillies, don't even get me started as they're getting lapped by the rest of the division. Good morning, Jonas.
Hey, happy holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it sucks.
It does.
It totally
what am I
sucks.
Supposed to say? Like, I'd rather just talk about nonsense today. I mean, quite frankly, I'd rather talk about just stupid things and laugh and fun and you know, pass the court.
Yeah, I mean, especially with what's going on around the world, right? Like, this is normally a day where this is what, the heaviest drinking day of the year, right? Yeah. Where everybody's merry and everybody's getting ready for the Thanksgiving day. You're seeing family for the first time for a lot of people in a long time. And unfortunately, you know, some people are still going to see family. Some people are still going to try to find ways to go out and drink. But obviously there's, you know, restrictions on doing that this year. And to put, you know, the icing on the cake, it's the football season still. And our team here in Philadelphia sucks. They're 3-6-1. I have absolutely zero faith in them beating the Seahawks. I have zero faith in them beating the Packers. If they come close to beating any of those two teams, it's a fluke in itself, just them coming close to beating those two teams. So, yeah, it stinks right now. I would love to just do a Sixers-Flyers day. Like, that sounds fantastic. That sounds awesome to just get excited and go nuts. But unfortunately, that's just it's not the case. And we have an awful football team on our hands, and we can't really look forward for the Sixers for another, 3.5 weeks? We still have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
It stinks. Rock.
My house stinks.
That's right. It stinks.
It sucks. I'm sorry. I want to go into every show with like a fun, you know, breezy way. But can I be totally, like, you know, I'm going to ask you that 100 times because that's like a, you know, a crutch. Can I be honest with you? It's like, I look at Thanksgiving, and it's not Thanksgiving, right? Because of the pandemic. So the holidays aren't the holidays. And it's just, and then I look at the football team. It's just miserable. Where do I extract joy? Tell me.
Your family.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it at this point.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty bad when I'm looking. It's just my family.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at this slate of games coming up to tomorrow, which at least we have football to look forward to and we won't be disappointed because it's not the Eagles tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to watch. It's not the best football, but you're going to see guys that you coveted, right? Like, how about that touchdown that CeeDee Lamb had against the Vikings last week, where he's falling down, he repositions his body, you know, and he makes that diving catch in the end zone. We're going to see a lot of CeeDee Lamb on the 4:30 game against Washington. You're going to see, I don't know who's going to be healthy for Baltimore, but, you know, there's guys like a guy like J.K. Dobbins, who the Eagles didn't draft because they drafted Jalen Hurts. You're going to see Chase Claypool, who was drafted before Jalen Hurts, but who knows, maybe you could have moved up, but you didn't want to get rid of that second round pick because you needed to draft a backup quarterback. So you're going to see guys that you coveted during Thursday's slate of games. You're going to go, oh, my God, how did they mess that one up?
Yeah, yeah. Please keep your mask on completely. Dude. What would you do? All right. Now, this is just a blanket question. What do you do? Now, again, the season has to play out.
Yes.
Right? But I think no matter what happens in the season, it's irrelevant. Because you know they're not good enough to reel off, you know, some sort of, hey, let's win four in a row to end the year, looking at the competition they're playing.
Yeah, they have no shot doing that. Like, they're a bad football team, so they have no shot at doing that. But, you know, Ant, they could win two, and two might be enough. Right? Like, two could be enough, which is crazy.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think I'm actually past the playoff thing. Right? Like, I'm past the, well, that's a panacea. They got a real issue. Right? You got a real issue. What are you going to do?
You're going to move on from a lot of these veterans. There's going to be a lot of changeover, which is overdue because it should have happened last offseason, offseason before.
But here's the other issue. Do you trust anybody to do it right way?
No, I do not, which you might need changeover throughout the front office. And I don't know. They're 3-6-1, and they're plummeting. Right, like we're starting to see the worst. We did not see the worst of the Philadelphia Eagles until really the Dallas game. I know they still won, but that was ugly, right? To barely beat Ben DiNucci and the Cowboys. That game was a lot closer than you thought. You know, the Roddy McLeod fumble recovery where it looked like Vinnie Curry was actually down, whatever. That made it the 23-9 game. But that game was the beginning of the worst of the 2020 Eagles. And then you had a loss to the Giants, and then last week was just abysmal. Watching that game against the Browns. So they are now starting to plummet. Even though they were below 500, even though they were ugly after losing to teams like, you know, Washington football team, tying to rookie quarterback Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, even though all that was bad, it wasn't the worst. It wasn't the bottomless pit of the Philadelphia Eagles in the 2020 season. We're now starting to see that. So I think it's only going to get worse from here on. Like, you have to guard DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett this weekend. Darius Slay can only do so much with one of those two guys. Like, it's going to be very bad on Monday.
So, but again, let's just play it out for the rest of the season. So, the rest of the season happens, and, you know, whether they win or not, they're a bad team. So, either they don't make the playoffs or they get bounced in the first round in a pretty convincing manner.
Right.
All right, so now we're at the end of the season. And Wentz is just what he is now. And Hurts is still an enigma.
Right.
Right? So what do you do?
I mean,
what do you do? Like, seriously, if you're in charge, do you just go, all right, I got to do something drastic? Because I don't think changing, and Shefty said this today on the morning show, right? So he told Mark and Bobby and those guys that, look, if this continues, then somebody will lose their jobs, right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, who's that? Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, and that's not enough.
Okay, so if Jim Schwartz loses his job, what good is that? Okay, like, all right, I like the fact that you get a new defensive scheme, but that's not enough.
That doesn't help your offense, which
that
has
doesn't
been
help
a total
your personnel
mess.
Department either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this would be something where Jeffrey Lurie has to go. So this has just been going downhill since we won. And are they past the stage of you got one more year to fix it? Because I thought this was the one year to fix it. Right? Or is after this season one more year to fix it? Because whether you believe in Howie and that personnel department to do it, if you're the owner of a franchise, and, you know, I get it. We don't like to hold merit when it comes to the Super Bowl. But if you're an owner, I feel like that probably takes into account. So he goes, all right, we are three seasons removed from the Super Bowl. It's gone downhill since. This has been the worst year. We have a lot of older players. This is your year to fix it. And if you don't fix it, if we don't see improvements next year, you guys are done. But
here's the problem with that. And I agree with you. And that's probably the tack they'll take.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't see any I don't see any redeeming quality. I gotta be real with you. I mean, what does Doug do well? I've asked this question a million times, and I still don't know the answer. Other than what he's a player's play for him, right? Like, I've always come to the same conclusion that he's a player's coach. But what does he really do well offensively? Like, if we have to keep reminding him to move the pocket, to move the quarterback, what does that say about his own limitations as a play caller? What does it say about his ability to fix Wentz? What does it say? Like, if you're constantly wondering, well, you don't see him talk to him. You don't see this.
Right.
Right. What does it say about his play design when you look at some things?
It's either blatant stupidity or blatant arrogance. You know, he's just arrogance.
Yeah, Mike's theory was it was the spite theory that he didn't want the masses to be right. Now, if that's the case,
he
should be out on his ear to yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So I look at the conclusion of anything with Peterson. He is not a dynamic coach. He's never been a dynamic coach. Again, they won the Super Bowl, but so did Brian Billick. And guys had success and win. That doesn't mean it's sustaining. It means that for a year, everything you did worked. We've seen that before. It's rare, but the circumstances were rare. They were in the second year of a rebuild. Everything that Howie did worked brilliantly. They turned the last place schedule into the first seed.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all real factors. Like, if you're actually going to think about how do I assess my business over the next 5 years, you got to cut any kind of sentimental ties. And that includes the Super Bowl. You have to cut that. If you're gonna look at it and figure out your business over the next 5 years, well, it's too long ago.
Yeah,
and there's too many other factors. Like the coaching staff's not the same.
Yeah, you've lost obviously all. You know, Frank Reich is the name that we always
talk
about.
So you look at it and you go, well, am I in good hands?
I mean,
so here's I'm asking you. All I am is a consultant.
Yeah, I mean,
right? I'm going to be the consultant.
All right.
And then I'll make you and the callers, Jeffrey Lurie, tell me what you want to do. Do you want to go get a new coach?
I think it starts above the coach. I mean,
okay, but hold on. Uh-huh. Because if you answer this question, it starts above the coach, and you're Jeffrey Lurie, and I know it starts with you, so you got to now take a back seat.
Yes.
All right?
Oh, my God, of course.
Okay, so now you're looking at, do I get a coach that is also in charge of personnel?
Yeah.
You go to Carolina, and Matt Rhule's in charge of personnel.
Right.
Okay? He's in charge of that draft. He was a first-year head coach coming out of college, and he's in charge of personnel.
Yeah, you have to get a Saturday coach.
Most coaches want to be in charge, right? And I'm a believer that that's the best way. Some people are GM people. I'm a believer in that I want the coach to be that guy.
Okay.
Andy's that way. Belichick's that way. You go around the league and look at all the stuff. Now, again, you can have a good GM with him, but he's got to be, they got to be, that's got to be, you know, his choice.
Right. That's good. It's a tough question. But,
let's do it. Let's think about it today. And then let's have some fun. I got a Thanksgiving 5 for you today that I want to get to. We're going to have, at some point, man, we just got to pop bottles.
Sounds good to me.
We're live in Parks Casino. If I don't show up, I'm probably in the sports book here. But I'll come back to the air. All right. I'm going to hang here. If you can't get the Parks Sportsbook, go to get the Parks Sportsbook app. It's right there for you. All right. It's Cuz Radio with the Chewish. We're just getting started. That's right. And when we're talking about the Parx Sportsbook app, you download it, use the promo code Fanatic, get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's with the promo code Fanatic. And let's take a look at the lines. See, it's great because I can actually look on the screen here. We got three games tomorrow. So right now, Pittsburgh, 5-point favorite against Baltimore. If the game is played, the over on the total is 45. Houston's a 3-point favorite at Detroit. Dallas, 3-point favorite against Washington. And how about tonight? College basketball. We got college hoop tonight. That's fantastic. Villanova, the Cats. We had Jay Wright on yesterday. 9.5-point favorites against Boston College tonight. Check it out. Parx Sportsbook app. Go to pa.parxcasino.com. Download or use promo code Fanatic. Get your risk-free bet up to $500. Got to be in Pennsylvania. Got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Let's go right to Doug. Doug was asked about the run game in the fourth quarter. He is speaking now. Let's see what he's got to say.
Give that message has changed and evolved over the course of the season. I'm curious, what kind of changes do you make when you give that message at this point of the season with where you guys are at right now?
Well, I think that the messaging, honestly, it is the specific between he and I, but I also want to make sure that the offense in as a whole understands the messaging too, right? It's even though the focus is on me and the quarterback, I think there's and we've talked about this a lot. I think that each position group can also have specific messaging as well, that we're all doing the same to improve and to get that, you know, to get better each day, each week. And I continue to talk to Carson and continue to talk to all the quarterbacks and still direct and lead the offense and lead the team in a way that everybody has to understand. Coaches and players have to understand that the things that we're doing, the mistakes that we are making have to stop.
If I can follow up real quick, is it something though where you have to simplify things when you communicate with him at this point of the season?
You know, the short answer to that is yes, but and then here's the but. We also simplify because of some of the mistakes that we're making at the skill positions with some of the young guys too. So it's a little it goes kind of hand in hand with. Yeah, we want to simplify overall, maybe for the quarterback position, but we're also simplifying for the rest of the offense so that guys can, you know, especially this time of year when fatigue and bodies are sore and the minds kind of get tired, that we keep it simple for them, you know, for them also.
Go ahead, Dave, and then Zach.
Hey, Doug, we saw that really productive stretch from Travis Fulgham, and then the last 2 weeks, obviously, the production hasn't been there. To what do you attribute that? And at this point in his career, he's such a young player. Do you really know what you have with him?
Well, I attribute probably the lack of production for just the way the defenses are scheming him. We have seen, you know, a top defender corner, go at least go to his side of the field, or at least on and guard him. you know, and it's something that he has, as a young player, he has to understand, because the more, and if he wants to be an elite receiver in this game and in this league, he's going to know that that's always going to be the case every week. And he really has to focus in and detail his work and practice, hard and fast and just prepare himself for that. And that's how you see some of the great players in this league, particularly at the receiver position, how they handle that, just knowing that they're going to, they're going to gain the respect around the league, the more opportunities and the better they become.
Go ahead, Zach, and then Jeff McClain.
Hey, Doug, two-part question here. Is Zach Ertz trending in the direction of play? And then you said last week that you've been more effective out of 11 personnel than 12 personnel, but you haven't had Ertz and Goddard together much. When they're back, are you expecting to get back to what you did early in the season and really play 12 heavily?
Zach is trending in the right direction. He'll be back out there today, in our walkthrough and in our practice this afternoon. And so I'm optimistic, and hopefully he comes away and feels good after today's practice. As it pertains to 12 or 11 personnel, you know, as you guys know too, sometimes, you know, based on, you know, analytics, based on coaches' film study during the week and how the games kind of unfold, I like 12 personnel. I like when Zach and Dallas are in there. I think Rich Rod has been a very positive, complimentary piece in Zach's absence right now. I've been very happy with how he's played, and he's played well. So I do think that I think maybe 12 or 13 personnel could be a little more involved in our game plans. But at the same time, I do like 11 personnel as well. I still like having, you know, some of those young guys on the field with the speed and being able to attack in that way as well.
Jeff, and then Jamie.
I guess, Doug, two-parter. Where's Jason Kelce stand in terms of his injured elbow?
He's sore, but he'll be fine and would expect him to play Sunday.
So if he plays Sunday, that would be his 100th consecutive start, which is a pretty impressive feat. What has he meant to this team over that span? And obviously this year with so many moving parts at the offensive line.
I tell you, this guy, I got so much respect for him as a football player, on and off the football field. He's somebody that does things right all the time. And his game may not be perfect each week, but this guy, he practices and plays hurt. He gives of himself for his teammates. He's a great leader, not only in the offensive line room, but I think on this football team. It's one of the reasons I make him a captain every year. And the team respects that, and the team looks at that, I know over the years, probably in his career, we try to, you know, whether it's through the media or the team, we try to find ways to, you know, move Jason Kelce on. But I'd say, well, I love this guy, what he can do as a center, how he can get to, how he moves, how he gets to second level defenders, how smart he is in protection. It's amazing to me. I've never really been around a player, an offensive lineman of his caliber that does what he does day in and day out, and a ton of respect for Jason.
Jamie, and then Tim.
Doug, you talk about, like right now, you just talked about Kelce and the media wants to move on from him and stuff like that. There's always noise around this football team, right? And this week, all the noise is, you know, you should bench Carson Wentz. Why aren't you benching Carson Wentz? Experts say you should. Experts say you shouldn't. How do you filter that stuff out? I mean, I know you guys don't listen to a lot of that, but I'm sure that you're aware of it. And I'm sure, you know, Carson is aware of it. And there's a lot of pressure being the football coach and the quarterback of this football team. So how do you kind of filter out the noise?
For me personally, I don't listen. I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to, I don't read print media. if Brett doesn't tell me what's going on outside of our building, I don't know, you know, or if, you know, Dom's not informing me on what our players are doing. I don't want to know. Right. And because my focus is on the team and helping our football team get better and improve. And that's my job. And listen, I understand my job is also to make tough decisions, you know, with the roster and who plays, who doesn't plays, who plays and doesn't play and things of that nature. And it's just, you know, every coach, every player here, there's a ton of pride, you know, and listen, everybody's an expert. Everybody's an armchair quarterback. Everybody has an opinion. And listen, I respect that. I mean, everybody, people are entitled to that. And I have to do what I feel is in the best interest of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, Mr. Lurie, and the players in that locker room. And again, it goes down to, you know, it comes back to sometimes having to make tough decisions. And you know, one of the things that I've learned as a player and I've seen as a coach is that the tough decisions have to be made in this business, whether it's a tough decision to move on from a player in the off season or, you know, to the decision now to whether you're going to make the move at quarterback or not. I mean, no, these are all decisions that you know, have to be made by me. But for the most part, I just I focus on the players. I focus on getting better each day.
Go ahead, Tim, and then Bo.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback?
Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today.
Okay.
I mean, we're looking – I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
Carson's your starter for Monday?
Yes.
Okay. What have you done? What methods have you guys employed, you know, to help get him right? I mean, do you have him looking back at some old tape where he was successful? What kind of methodologies are the coaches using to try to get your quarterback right?
I mean, you know, we keep going round and round with this. You know, I've gone back and looked at 17 and 18 tape. Our coaching staff has, and I know he has. You know, we've looked at everything from play calling. Me, am I different? Am I using personnel right? Am I making, you know, decisions that are beneficial for the team? You know, I look at a bunch of that stuff, and you know, it comes down to just, you know, each person, each player, each coach, taking a look at yourself, looking in the mirror, see what you see. If you don't like what you see, we got to change. And you got to make improvements and you got to get better. And so these are all the things that we're doing and we're helping him. We're helping, you know, the offense, we're helping the offensive line, we're helping the receivers, we're helping, you know, everybody get better. And we're using everything we can to make these adjustments.
We got time for two more, so we'll go to Bo and then Rob Motti.
Given the challenges this year, Doug, of everything going on and having less face-to-face time with your players, how do you go about, you know, making sure you have the same pulse of the locker room that you would normally have?
Well, for me, it's about reaching out to individual players and just talking, right? Talking to my coaching staff and seeing how, you know, what guys are talking about and then when we get them here in the building, being able to pull them aside, talk to them then and just have an idea of what's going on. And, you know, I've been very pleased with, you know, even the struggles that we're having. I've been very pleased with the energy, with the enthusiasm, the attention to detail that, you know, a lot of these players in this team has had. That is something we got to hold on to and work our way, you know, work our way out of this.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Doug, your hesitation to answer that question about the starter on Monday is going to be overanalyzed and microanalyzed. And I know you're not paying any attention to it. But can you explain why there was a hesitation? Are you thinking about it? Has that even crossed your mind?
I think about a lot of things, Rob. And, you know, the question was, you know, is Carson my starter? He's my starter. End of story. And you guys can blow it up however you want it. And that's fine. I'm focused on these team, this players, this coaching staff, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Are you serious? What? This gets more farcical every time we play it. Oh, my God. First of all, he gets asked the question by Tim McManus. He'll be on with Mike later on today. And T-Mac says, yeah, that's not a move you're making, right, Doug? No, it's not. Well, no, he actually says, well, not today.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get better today. Well, all right. then he hems and haws. So Tim asked him like three different times. Yeah. And then Rob Motti at the end goes, again, like he did the last time.
Yep.
Hey, Doug, you know, what's the story? Why the hesitation? Carson's my starter. End of story. You guys can blow it up out of proportion. Are we insane?
What?
Are you crazy? I mean, seriously, this guy's got no clue. He's got no idea what he's doing. At least when it comes to the media. Oh, my God. At least when it comes to being presidential and being a leader. This is comical.
Or just making it easier for himself.
Oh, my
period.
God. This is so stupid. This is the dumbest thing ever. It really is. Is Carson your start? You're not thinking about making that change, Doug. No, I'm not. Carson's starting Monday night.
And then simple.
He hems and haws, and then end the story. You guys can blow it out of proportion. And by the way, Doug, who in their right mind was talking about getting rid of Kelsey?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Anybody?
That's the first thing I said to you.
I talk to 1,000 Philadelphians every week.
Love Jason Kelsey.
I've never heard one person utter that you should move on from Jason Kelsey.
Oh, you know, there's people in the media, you know, other people have been trying to get rid of him.
This dude is a complete clown at his news conferences. I'm sorry. There's no other way to say it. The question about 11 and 12 personnel, he went on to talk about the analytics, right?
Mm-hmm. The guy's upstairs.
All right. He's talking about analytics. Dude, it's your offense. It's your offense. You're the designer of your offense. And anyone on the go, yeah, I like 12. Maybe we could put some 13 in there. And but I do like 11, too. What? He sounds like George Costanza.
So when you say, what is their identity? Their identity's analytics.
It's unbelievable.
That's his identity.
I mean, you want to talk about the emperor wears no clothes. Guys, listen. And Joe, I apologize. Joe's our big Doug Peterson guy. I can't take this dude. You can't argue that maybe he's just not good at news conferences, okay? And that's not a prerequisite for the job. So I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it. But when we pay attention this closely to it and we listen to it, it's a farce. I mean, it's an SNL skit. I mean, it is. He's idiotic. I mean, I'm going to be mean about it, but it's so dumb. It's the dumbest thing ever. I mean, Andrew, coming back, just play the question. Hey, you're not thinking about doing that this week, right, with the quarterback?
I'm not thinking about it today.
What in the world? Why would you answer the question hemming and hawing? Why would you do that? I mean, seriously, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, yeah, end the story. Carson's my quarterback. Are we supposed to take this guy seriously as a head coach? He's asked about his offense, and he's talking about analytics. This guy's an idiot. I mean, I'm sorry. I feel bad, but I can't do this. I can't listen to this guy speak anymore. It's painful. I'm incredulous. guys, I've been covering sports for almost 30 years, okay? I've been around a million press conferences, a ton of coaches, right? A litany of coaches from the good, the great, the okay, the bad. These news conferences are painful. I mean, I don't think he's as bad as he is in the news conference, but my God, dude, stop.
Well, you're in luck. 10:30 Saturday, next time you can hear from him.
Oh.
Will you be tuning in?
Oh, my God. You got to be... Andrew, am I crazy here?
No, it's again, you just did the simple answer. No, he's my quarterback. I'm not thinking about it. I don't... Like, it's the same thing with the Brett Favre situation, right? Like, it's... Why are you making it harder for yourself? Just say, I respect Brett's opinion, but Carson's our guy. And there you go. You don't have to offend your boy, Brett, and you can say Carson's your guy.
Who gives a flying and now about Brett Favre?
Exactly. Bleep and now this Brett one. Who are you protecting here?
God,
you didn't have to protect anyone.
This is idiotic.
I'm focused on Wednesday.
Sorry. I apologize to you guys. I should not even air this. I am seriously. It's idiocy. It's an SNL skit. And if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I'm embarrassed. You want your front office to be, you want your franchise to be that guy in front of the cameras every week? This is idiotic. Oh, my Lord. And I'm supposed to have trust in this guy as the coach? Really? You want to castigate me because I don't believe in that dude? Wow. We'll come back. I'm dying to hear from you. Put me in a good mood, please. I can't take it. I was in a bad mood earlier. And then I listened to that drivel. I mean, God.
Gosh, it went great.
Oh. Oh, that's brutal. I need my Xeva. My Xeva infusion therapy, Tunis. Maybe that's what I need. Either that or a lobotomy. So maybe I would understand what he's talking about. Life comes at us hard these days. We're exhausted, run down, dehydrated, you get headaches and body aches, right? So here's the deal with Xeva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. It's a positive way to recharge and refuel your body. It's a game changer for you, right? Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and hydration you need to boost your immune system, to elevate your mood and energy level, replenish your reserves. That's what it is. The example is plugging your phone into the wall, right? Here, you get an IV of goodness. And it's safe. We're talking vitamins, nutrients, hydration administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Xeva's modern infusion suites. Relax in a massage chair. Enjoy a snack while you receive your infusion in front of a flat-screen television. It's like, just disappear. It takes about 45 minutes or so. To learn more about Xeva's vitamin therapies, you got to check it out. You'll love it. Xeva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Xeva. Replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley, live from Parks Casino, Street Road, Bent Salem. Don't forget to download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Bring it right to your house. Don't forget our 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Andrew, bad news, the postponement. Thursday night, tomorrow night, no Ravens Steelers. It's moved until Sunday.
Yeah, it stinks.
Creating a huge void tomorrow night in our Thanksgiving football plans.
Yeah. And a lot of times people were watching that nighttime game the most, right? Because you're done eating. A lot of people are done with the family stuff. You also can't breathe from the amount of food you've eaten. So that's on the, or that Thursday night game's big.
Like, I'll be like, here's what I would do. If I was CBS, I would swoop in and I would move Lions and Texans to nighttime.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on.
I mean, why waste the 12:30 when you can put that game on prime time?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the move. That'd be the move to do. I mean, it's
what do we got
better for the network?
What do we got, Ferry? Is there anything, any void? Is there any college games Thursday? This is tough because we're not even hanging, right? With, you know, the big family thing.
Yeah.
So let's see, Thursday, college football.
You got college basketball, maybe?
Do we got college?
Well, the tournament. So college, yeah, I think Nova's playing again tomorrow.
Are they?
I just don't know what time.
Oh, look at this horrible game. Tomorrow night.
Oh, God.
Dude, this game's on television. It's on FS1. You ready? New Mexico against Utah State.
Ew.
Dude. Both these teams are 0-4.
Nice.
Two 0-4 teams are being broadcast nationally on FS1. Are you serious with
prime,
that?
Prime time, man.
That's for those games on Friday. They don't play one game Thursday night. They're actually televising New Mexico and Utah State that are both 0-4.
Yeah, that's a mess.
It's horrible.
By the way, a lot of the Steelers players are very upset.
Are they?
Yeah, because, you know, this is now the second time their game's been moved. Remember, they were affected by the Tennessee Titans earlier this year. This game was actually reworked into the schedule. This was not their original Week 12 game with Baltimore, so they had to move things around. Remember, they had the early Week 3 bye, which then they came off of and beat the Eagles. So Eric Ebron dropping the old BS tag in the NFL, but Juju Smith-Schuster now put out a tweet saying, first, the NFL takes away our bye week because another team can't get their COVID situation together. Now they take away our Thanksgiving primetime game for the same reason. Shaking my head.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Steelers fans not happy.
You're right, man. That's right on, dude.
So the Ravens, this is for me in Rappaport, the Ravens had 7 players positive in 3 days. So that's part of it.
Wow. That I can't, because, you know, NBC's dying. All those eyeballs.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, all those eyeballs. Like, what's the deal? We're going to watch a movie now. That sucks. Got no football, man.
You can rewatch. DVR, one of the earlier games, and rewatch it.
Bro, you know that show I told you about, Queen's Gambit?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm through 2 episodes. Good.
My man.
Yeah.
Is he listening to me? I can't believe it.
Figured I'd give it a shot. I like it.
So, do you realize that show has set records?
Yep.
67 million people have watched that on Netflix. It's the record for most watch of a Netflix
really?
Show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
About a chess prodigy in this, I guess it's the 60s. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah, so I read a story that there's a company, I think it's in England. It might have been England or Canada, I forget, excuse me. But they make up 70% of the chessboards that are sold in the United States.
Yeah, they're skyrocketing.
They see a profit of over 1,000% since the show started.
No, it's huge. Huge. You watch, like, I'm hesitant to say because I have an idea, but it's a great show. I love it. Let's go to the Dez. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Happy Thanksgiving, Dez.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas.
How you doing? All right. What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm going light. I gotta go to my girlfriend's side of the house. I gotta go to my side.
Are you doing the rounds?
Yeah. I got to do what I got to do. I can't see all my grandparents, but I got to see one, and my mom, and my children. And then I got to go to, you know, the girlfriend's family. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm just going to be there enjoying what I can enjoy. So,
well, enjoy it, my man. Enjoy it, brother.
Yeah, she put me on a diet for no, not having sweets, so I can enjoy it all tomorrow. So
good for you, babe.
12:01 tonight. I'm on it. I don't care.
I love it.
All right. So my point is, first, I love the Sixers. If you go get Sweet Lou, bring him back home.
That'd be great.
Home. Yeah. Because that'll be another dagger, and you can bring him off the bench, and you're not going to lose anything.
Yeah.
With being able to move some things around. And Doc got two players, you know. So yeah. I would love that. But Eagles, my God. You took my point earlier. Incompetent bosses cannot be fixed. You've got to move on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if the, you know, whatever loyalty they have to Doug, you know, he did his job, he got you a Super Bowl, move on. I would love to get Eric from
the enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
From Kansas City.
That's my man. I mean, he hasn't gotten a chance yet. Andy Reid.
Oh, he's going to get a job, like, that's for sure.
Listen.
He's going somewhere.
Get rid of Doug. It's like you paid Chip Kelly to go away. Go do what you got to do. Go get him. Let him pick his quarterback. You're already picking. You're probably picking pretty high in the draft. You can figure out a lot of things just to come in there and take care of some business. He has a very exciting offense every year. I believe when you do something where the other team can't stop you and you decide to move on because you're trying to be smart, like, you know, everybody knows that the key to the Eagles is running the ball first.
Yeah.
And then everything else usually works its way out. The offensive linemen seem to do better when they run the ball. You're not beating up your quarterback because there's no pressure on him, and then you can go over the top. And then you can take with all the speed and everything. But until they see that, just the simple stuff. There's no way in hell I will stop running the ball if you can't stop me. Eat up the clock, do what I gotta
do. You also gotta fix your running game. You need another back. That's for sure. Well everybody's got two backs.
Yeah, but they keep picking tweeners for running backs.
I agree. Listen, you got to fix the personnel department, too. So it's not just the coaching problem.
Yeah. So with all that being said, I'm just going to look for the Sixers. I'm just ready to start. I'm just mad we don't get like a little winter league instead of summer league so we can watch something. We would be all into that right now.
Tell me about it. Well, guess what? I'll be here soon.
Yeah,
December 22nd, man.
Hey, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'll be on it. I like to see this kid from Kansas, from Kentucky, Maxie.
Yeah, I like him a lot, I'm going to tell you. I think he could be the answer that was false as a guy next to Ben that can handle the ball.
I mean, imagine they took that chance last year and actually got Porter from that went to Denver.
I know, Michael Porter Jr. I know.
Yeah.
We all liked him and whatever. I don't want to get... This draft is—it drives me down a bad road when we talk bad drafts. Good stuff, brother. Thank you,
man. Have a good one.
You too, buddy. All right, I want to get to everybody straight ahead. Special people on the line. We want to talk to everybody and wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. But we also want to help you make money over the next couple days, and you could do that. We have our man on the Comcast Business Hotline. Brad Feinberg is about to join us, and we're going to go through the card. Me, him, and Chunis will take a look at what he's got to offer over the next couple days as you're getting ready for your turkey and you're getting ready for everything else. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, and we'll talk to Brad about this, but I like the Lions a lot tomorrow. I know there's a lot of Texans love out there. Lions had a clunker last week. I can think at home, I like them strong. We got Brad Tunis.
Yeah, I feel bad. I always call his house phone, and his lovely wife picks up, and I go, oh, sorry.
All right, let me get to our betting analyst, a terrific guy, the big brain on Brad Feinberg. Brad, happy Thanksgiving, my brother.
You too, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone out there.
My man.
Out the big brain on Brad.
So, a couple things real quick. The postponement, what's that going to do to you? Are you going to go movie tomorrow night?
It's frustrating because I had bet last Saturday, I had taken Pittsburgh minus two for a pretty big bet. And
really? Oh, we just lost him. Uh-oh. Well, we'll try to get him back. Let's do that. We'll try to get Brad back. And he disappeared into the ozone.
Yeah, I'll call Mark back now.
All right. Well, you do. Here's the one thing, and we'll get to Nikki and Frankie and Mike and Trace and Donald. We'll talk to everybody straight ahead. So just hang on, be patient, because I want to get Brad's picks for everyone, because I know they're going to look at it tomorrow, and you know, not the huge festivities usually. So we're going to be watching some of these games. All right,
we got him back.
We got him back. Hello, buddy. We lost you.
Can't get rid of me that easily.
So, tell us, you were about to say you had a big bet on Pittsburgh.
No, I had a good bet on Pittsburgh minus two and the look-ahead line. And you know, but when a game gets changed, the day of the venue gets changed, there is no action on my bet, so I lose that bet. So I was, for selfish reasons, I was upset that game got canceled. And plus, I thought that was the best game on the card. But, you know, what can you do? Yeah, you said, probably have to watch a movie on Netflix or something.
Yeah. All right, well, let's start off before we get to the Thanksgiving games and some of the card this weekend. College basketball starts today. There's games. You got, like, anything in college ball?
I had played, there is, Ryan is the coach. Bo Ryan's first game. As his dad is at Wisconsin Green Bay, and he's implementing the same slowdown system as, you know, as his dad. And I played the under in that game just based on the fact that I don't know if the line is properly adjusted for, it's a whole new regime, a whole new way of playing. And when you have a new coach, that's something that people have to look out for and whatnot. And I also took Pepperdine tonight as well. I laid 1.5, but I think that line's gone maybe slightly since. But those were the two college games that I hit.
Pretty good. Any thought on Villanova? It's so hard to handicap because
you don't know
how a team is going to be. They haven't practiced, COVID, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely at the beginning. Listen, it's definitely a little more guesswork for sure. Look, we know that Villanova is a great team. I'm not, you know, that much we know. I didn't play the game. And again, when it's early on like this, and again, especially with the whole COVID situation, I'm a little more leery of playing games unless I really feel like I have some potential edge in such games. And then right now with college basketball, again, when there's a situation like a coaching change, I think I was able to take advantage on that. But for the most part, I think it's hard to know how practices have been, who, you know, the health of certain players or whatnot. But again, Villanova to me should have an outstanding season. They seem like a clear top five team. I did not bet tonight's game, but I'm looking forward to watching it.
All right, let's look at it. Tomorrow, Turkey Day. Now down to two games, Lions and Texans. Who are you liking?
Yeah, Detroit has just looked so bad, and I my numbers made this one three, and that's what it mostly is, or threes. The only way I could look to this game is Houston. I know that Detroit in the past has had games where they play well on this day when you want to count them out, but without Kenny Golladay, Matt Stafford seems injured to me. Like, I know he's been questionable each week, Anthony, but when your quarterback is not playing well, it makes everything so much more difficult. I wanted to like Detroit. I really did, getting points, but I just don't trust Stafford's health enough. So the only way I could look at this game is the favorite with Houston. But again, I happen to like the other game, the Dallas-Washington game. I like the side and total in that game. That's the game I like the best. This Detroit game.
See, I like
is
Detroit.
Just
I like the Lions.
Yeah, I listen, in past, this is always a game Detroit seems to win outright, let alone cover the three. I hear you, but again, it's, for me, it's just a Matt Stafford issue. I've watched all his games, and I mean, he just doesn't seem healthy to me. This doesn't seem like the Matt Stafford who I thought was a top 10 NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think that guy's there right now.
Listen, I agree with you. See, here's the thing. I'm not a believer in the Houston defense either.
I don't think anyone is. It's just, again, I wasn't. Well, the Carolina, Anthony, the crazy stat about Carolina,
I know.
The two previous games before, they allowed two punts in two games.
Yeah. Only got two punts in two games, and yeah. they pitched a shutout last week against Detroit. So,
yeah, I know.
Detroit to me just haven't seemed right. Stafford hasn't seemed right. Again, I'm not betting the game. It's just a lean. But if Stafford was the normal Stafford, I would have liked Detroit to win outright. I just don't have enough confidence in him to put my money on Detroit right now.
Yeah, I feel it. But you said you like Washington, Dallas.
Like Washington, Dallas, and I like the total. First, I really like under 46 in that game, guys. One thing we know that Washington has a good defense, and that is something that has been there all year for them. They have been very consistent all year on defense, and you can argue they've been one of the best defensive teams in the league.
I agree.
Dallas with Andy Dalton, again, they had a really nice game last week against Minnesota. Give them total credit for that. But that's really the first really great offensive performance we've seen from Dallas, and probably since Dak Prescott left. Okay.
Yeah.
I really like under 46 in this game. I actually made this total 42.5.
Wow.
So, again, this was way off of my numbers. I expect a really low-scoring kind of playoff kind of game. And I also do like Dallas, and I think Dallas is going to win this. I do. I think Dallas has just more upside on the offensive side of the ball in the sense that with Washington, obviously we have Terry McLaurin, who's terrific. But I just think Alex Smith is just really not. They would have lost that game last week if Joe Burrow didn't get hurt. Dallas did show a pulse last week. They finally showed something. Maybe Andy Dalton is back to being mediocre. And if he's mediocre, with the talent that Dallas has, they have two good running backs, they have three good receivers. They're just, I think, a far more talented team than Washington. I thought this line would come in closer to 4, and you can still get some 2.5s out there or 3 getting juice. I bet Dallas laying 2.5, and I bet under 46, and I like both those games. I like both very much, actually.
It's funny. I like Washington.
Yeah. We will see.
I like Washington to win the division. They were 8-1 2 weeks ago. I told the Tunis.
Well, at 8-1, I would. Yeah. Well, right. Basically, that division. Right. I'll tell you one thing. How is Philadelphia the favorite? That I can't figure out for the life of me.
Yeah.
But their schedule coming up, Philadelphia is the clear favorite, and I don't understand that because I would rank them 4th out of the 4 teams.
Yeah.
To win the division right now with their schedule coming up, Anthony. I don't understand how they are the favorite to win the division. That is perplexing to me. Yeah, listen, if you like Washington, I think they're getting around plus 350 right now to win the division. But if you like them to win the division, a much better bet I would recommend is betting them to win this game. Because if they win this game, if they don't win this game, they're really probably not going to win the division. And if they win this game, they still may not even win the division anyway.
Defense. I think the Cowboys defense still sucks. And I think, that's how I kind of
look at it. I hear you. Again, I do like the under in the game. As I said before, I would not be surprised if either team did not get over 20 points in this one. I think it's going to be a low-scoring, tight game. But I do think Dallas will find a way to win the game.
Okay.
I just think they have more talent. And Alex Smith, such a good story. Root for the guy.
No,
like crazy.
I hear you.
But again, my numbers made this one closer to 4. So anytime the game is, when it's off a field goal, when the number's 3 and I'm getting a point of value, 3 is such an important number, I had no choice but to play Dallas.
All right, do me a favor, because you've got about 90 seconds. And can you give us the games you're hot on for the rest of the week? Any college stuff, any other NFL stuff?
I'll do it right
now.
Yeah, Arizona, New England. I like Arizona here. I just think they are the better team. I think they're the more consistent team. You can lay 2 points right now. I made that number 3.5, and the line is only 2. I trust them to win that game, and that's just the way that it is. In college, Michigan, I know Michigan and Penn State have probably been the 2 most disappointing teams in college football this year, or pretty sure if not, pretty close to that or whatnot. And last week, Michigan had a change in quarterback. They had a guy named Cade McNamara who came in and threw for 4 touchdowns for Joe Milton. I finally saw some light from them. Because of that, and only that, I like Michigan laying 2 in the Penn State game, which I'm not sure if they're even coming to play or not. I can't trust them. And I do like North Carolina against Notre Dame getting 5.5. I find Mack Brown gets his team up to these kind of big games. I think Sam Howell will have enough success on offense. And I still just can't fully get myself to trust this Notre Dame team. I know they're ranked number two. I know they've been great. But I actually think North Carolina has a really good chance to win the game outright, Anthony.
Oh, there you go. I love it. Any props for the peoples?
Most of the prop bets haven't come out yet. One prop I will definitely have a lean on is Terry McLaurin goes over every single game. I mean, he's gone over literally virtually every game this season. Yeah, is over under
secondary.
Going against a non-great defense in Dallas. I always like Terry McLaurin never has a bad game. So I think his over-under is about 73.5. And again, if you look at his game log, he's gone above that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It looks like 9 straight games. So, again, in Terry McLaurin, I trust.
There you go, buddy. Thank you, Brad. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
My pleasure, guys. Good luck, everyone out there.
To your family, man. Appreciate it, brother. Bye-bye. There he is, Brad Feinberg on the Comcast Business Hotline. Check and give us some, the betting analyst giving some of his insights. If you want to take any of these games, you can just go to the Parks website, download the Parks Sportsbook app. This is where we're at. Look out. You got all the great you got all the games. And by the way, the NFL is keeping the games the same times, so they're not going to move any to prime time.
There goes your hopes and dreams.
Yeah, dashed. But check out the Parks Sportsbook app. You can still download it. Any of the games Brad talked about, any of the props, you got it right there on your fingertip, at your fingertips, on the Parks Sportsbook app. Use the promo code FANATIC, FANATIC, FANATIC. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got it all right there. Parks Casino, got to be 21. You got to be in PA. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.